What's up, y'all?
All right. So listen, we have a new opportunity so you can be loyal increasingly to the Corner Store Podcast. We have a Patreon account. Tarma, Davian, where can people find us on Patreon?
Patreon.com/cornerstore_pod.
And this is a way where you can support us each and every week. There are, you know, very affordable ways to support the Corner Store. It gives you a multitude of options. You could support the snacks, stop Max from coming out of his pocket every week to, you know, feed people in the Corner Store. And you could also be a part of a live studio broadcast if you wish. There's a lot of things in that Patreon account. Tar, where can people find that one more time?
Patreon.com/cornerstore_pod.
Y'all, please consider becoming a Patreon, a patron of the Corner Store. Thank you for your support.
What's good, y'all? I'm on the road in LA, and I decided that, you know, why not interview some of my friends who are doing cool shit outside Chicago? I just thought I would start with my good friend who's a graphic designer and started this new company called Nappy Head Club. And that's really what I want to talk about today. But also her background and, you know, how she came to be in LA, because that's not where she's from. Nah. The Rachel Topping.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, so, I mean, we usually start these interviews, you know, to like, you know, you're not from LA. Mm-hmm. You know, where are you from and, like, how you kind of got into design work.
Sure. So I'm originally from Virginia Beach, which is home to a lot of really awesome creative people, I will say. And I went to school for graphic design. I was always really into it from when I was younger. And I went to like a really cool vocational program in high school where I got to do graphic design half a day. And my teacher like pulled me aside, was like, don't tell anyone I told you this, but you're actually good at this, so you should probably like do this. And I just never really looked back. So I went to school, VCU, Richmond, Virginia for graphic design, and then went immediately to New York right afterwards, and I've just been kind of like rocking out with design ever since. But yeah, definitely being from the South, there's a lot of influence there, and it's kind of like not an environment that anyone talks about being a designer, but I've always kind of felt like it translates into the things that I do just because like I'm from where I'm from, so I'm gonna find ways to convey that even in like a space that's very different.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say, like, looking at your work, I would think you're from the South, but, mm-hmm. you know, all those things kind of are, I guess, our work speak to those things, regardless of how overhanded they are.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's always been, like, a really interesting thing for me, because I've always naturally gravitated towards minimalism, but I've always been, like, a huge hip-hop lover and stuff, and, like, I would always find ways to sneak it into my projects. Like, I think one of my senior projects, I, like, animated lyrics to Kanye West's song in, like, a website. So I always like find ways to like sneak it in, because I kind of like that it doesn't necessarily tell you that like visually that those are my interests, but I kind of like to juxtapose like this really clean minimalist aesthetic with like who I am as a person, which is very like colorful, you know, and vibrant. So
yeah, I feel like you definitely have the minimalism, but then you play with like a pop of color, mm-hmm. or something that, you know,
yeah
I don't know, I really like your design style.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
And, you know, we met in New York, mm-hmm. and you had, like, a lot of really cool design gigs while you were out there.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what my first gig was. I took, like, a super corporate-y job, just, like, out of school, because I just needed a ticket to New York. But I got, like, let go, and I used the time that I was on unemployment to start applying for internships. I basically just found emails for every brand that I thought was cool. And the first person to give me a chance was Fader. So I interned at Fader. And it was not a design internship at all, but I'm just the type of person to like find ways to always volunteer myself. So I would like offer to design stuff just randomly. And they would be like, oh, like this is like actually really good. And I'm like, I know this is like what I went to school for. But from Fader, it went to, I art directed the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival. And then from there, I started working at Complex as a designer. So like, again, still finding ways to like juxtapose like my interests in design with music and find like little pockets to get in that I could still be in both worlds.
Yeah, I feel like your design style is very much in line with the Fader too.
Yeah.
That kind of like clean sort of.
Yeah, I love the Fader. I just thought like aesthetically it's always been on
point. Always been
just like really well done. Yeah. Just so good. And I would just love Sometimes I wouldn't even read the features, honestly. Just I would look. Just like the art direction on the shoots, and then just the way it was all laid out. I was just like in awe that this existed.
Yeah. So, how do you think? Like, I mean, you know, obviously we're all surrounded by like rap, even from you know who are the kind of artists you were listening to, you know, when you first started listening to rap.
Definitely like Mos Def.
Yeah, I feel that.
Common. Lupe Fiasco. Like when I first started listening to hip hop, I was obsessed with Kanye. That was like kind of my intro to hip hop. My mom really was like a big Erykah Badu fan. I know it's not hip hop, but like I was convinced that I was going to grow up to be her and marry Andre 3000. But that was just like my childhood, you know, that whole pocket. My dad was super into like the Roots. And I like in college, I became like obsessed with Little Brother. So I was like always kind of in that pocket, the like kind of soulful boom bap pocket.
Yeah. Cause you like a earth hippie child, like at your core.
Right.
Which
right.
is like, it's just like before when I got to know you, I never really could pick up like where that was from.
Yeah.
Like,
where did this come from? I don't know. Like I've always like, I was actually like, I had a moment where I was like the spoken word kid. Like I was, the thing was, I always like felt soulful in that way, but I also just didn't feel like that described me visually. So I always was like the kid who like felt like I needed to like wrap my hair and like wear like big bamboo earrings, like, you know, like have everything made of wood and like Africa, like pendants. But it just wasn't my aesthetic. But mm-hmm. that was like, I feel like those are my people, but I was like, I felt very pressured to like look like them, but that just wasn't my vibe at all. It was still very like clean, minimal. I love streetwear, stuff like that. But like, I love poetry. I love spoken words. So I was just like kind of in an interesting position.
Yeah. Something that can get a little corny.
Yeah, I know. And like, honestly, that has influenced a lot of my work as well. Or even when I'm just creating things, it's like, I'm trying to fill that void for people like me who like want something that's a little bit meaningful and soulful, but also think that's just corny to be, you know, like this like hyperbole of what it means to be like African-American, which is like not based on like actually traveling anywhere in the world. But yeah, I was just trying to like, especially when I started traveling and just like really experiencing like what like culture looks like in other countries. And I'm like, yo, this shit is like clean, futuristic, like so my vibe, but I'm not seeing a representation of that in my culture back home in the States. So like trying to like find ways to communicate that you can be like Afrocentric and soulful without having to look this stereotypical way of like how it's presented in America.
Right. So then after Complex, you went to Roc Nation.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So yeah. A headhunter reached out to me when I was working at Complex and couldn't tell me the name of the job. It was like, come down. And I'm just curious. I'm like nosy. So I was like, I want to find out what she's talking about. So I think I had to get on like the phone with her, and she's like, are you familiar with Sean Combs? And I was like, vaguely, you know, you have to like play it cool, you know?
Right.
But it was for, a designer job at Roc Nation. So I was there for about a year, but like learned a ton, got to experience like working hand in hand with a lot of artists, which was just like my dream to meet people in person. So that was really cool. Like working with them on their logos and stuff like that was a really cool experience.
Yeah. And then you moved to LA.
Yeah.
And I knowing you, I can really see like the part of you that's like East Coast, but then like why I moved to LA would make sense.
Yeah.
Cause like just like the LA vibe and just, I think like aesthetically, you know?
Yeah. It's so weird. Like aesthetically, LA is like my shit.
But then also it's that I can definitely see like the New York too, yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I was really inspired when I first moved to LA just by like the colors. I love like pastel tones and like the foliage, you know, like all the palm trees. Aesthetically, like it's just so me and I'm so inspired by it visually. So it's interesting because like aesthetically LA is like my thing, but like culturally and just like, the movement of New York is definitely me as well.
So, yeah.
Like, oh, hybrid.
Yeah. I just feel, I do feel like you fit better with New York.
But yeah.
I don't know. LA's weird.
It's a strange place. Yeah. It's a really strange place.
It's hard to get a feel for, like, you know, what people are actually doing. You know, out there. I don't know.
Yeah. It's more about aesthetics. Yeah. Which makes sense. If you think about the industries that run LA versus the industries that run New York, it makes more sense that like the doers and the creators are in New York, and kind of like the presenters and like the personalities are what you get in LA. That's just like, those are the industries. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's kind of the engines running the culture in both of those cities. Yeah.
So you've been there for about three or almost four years.
4 years, yeah. Yeah, 4 years.
And in that time, I mean, you're still, you know, doing your graphic design work and working for yourself mainly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then you started this company.
Yeah. So when I got to LA, I started working with a group called The Wave, and they're doing really dope stuff now. But I came on board as like their creative director, and I got to direct like a lot of music videos and just really expand my experience from just literally being a graphic designer to being more like kind of evolving into an art director. And then kind of when this, my brand kind of came about, it was just kind of like the culmination of all my experience, just allowed me to really like bring it to life and like a, really quickly.
Yeah. I remember you did that video. Was it for The Wave where it was all like the body tone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love Games. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, so the company was first called 4C Club.
Yeah, 4C yeah. Only Club. So it was just like, honestly, we didn't even have intentions for it to be anything serious. Me and my sister, we were in LA just going to shoot and fuck around. And we were just venting about how having 4C hair, which is like the Afro textured, really coarse, kinky hair, is something that you don't see associated with like fashion or like style or sexiness, and just kind of like how we were just sick of feeling like in order to like get a look off, you needed to like wear a straight haired wig or, you know, change your appearance, and that we just really were like, nah, we don't have to do that. Like, fuck that. And we were just joking, like, we need to make an Instagram that's called the 4C Only Club. Like, fuck everybody else. This is for us. So it was the 4C Only Club for maybe 6 to 8 months. But what happened was, immediately we realized that like, we were onto something, because people were just like reacting so crazy to this Instagram page, just thanking us for making it. And we're like, what do we do? We're just like posting pictures, but people were like DMing us, people from all over, not just the state, saying that this was like their place of refuge. They just, all these experiences of never having anyone shout them out. And then I met with someone, I won't say who, but from like a big company, and she kind of was like really interested in what I was doing. And I just kind of thought it was a hobby. And she was just like, no, you need to monetize this like ASAP. And I think she's kind of interested in like how it grows, because it has the potential to be acquired. And she was just like, you need to be serious about this and turn it into a for-profit business like ASAP, and like get everything locked in. So during that process, I was talking to a lot of people who do like incubator programs and really just having them pull apart the brand. And some of the feedback was like, one, people don't know what 4C means, not everyone's familiar with the hair typing system. And then just even like amongst my friends, I have friends that don't have 4C hair, but like understand what it's like to be like kind of like to experience texturism. And I realized that maybe 4C was a little bit limiting in the sentiment that we wanted to carry. We definitely still focus on featuring 4C women, because that's like the most underrepresented like group of like Black women, I think. But calling it the Nappy Head Club to us made it more kind of like our personality, which is this kind of like punk, like reclaiming something that's like taboo and just making it fun. It also makes like the pieces, like the streetwear, cooler, in my opinion, because it's just is like a little bit more in your face, a little bit more aggressive, and it's just more like us. So we changed the name to Nappy Head Club from 4C Only Club so that we could really reach more people, because people understand what nappy means immediately, and people weren't necessarily understanding what 4C meant. So
it's more inclusive.
It's more inclusive. Yeah, it's more inclusive. But I say that very literally, because our intent is definitely to support a very specific demographic of people. But we did want it to be, more inclusive in the sense that some people just don't know what 4C means.
Right.
And then some people might just like understand the sentiment without necessarily being 4C and want to support, but not, you know, necessarily having 4C textured hair. So I think it was a good decision for us, for sure. And it's grown a ton since we made that change. Some people still don't like the word nappy, and I get it. It's supposed to be uncomfortable, but that's like the whole point of the dialogue that we're mm-hmm. creating, is like, let's talk about why it makes you uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah, there are a lot of negative connotations associated with nappy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we grew up being told our hair was nappy. So this is kind of like our FU even to like some of our family who like, I mean, the oldest of 5 girls, and like we all have coarse hair, and you hear like the sly comments, like we've always heard them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of like our way of being like, nah, this is actually fly, and we're not going to let people make us feel bad about it. So,
yeah, I mean, I've learned a lot about like Black hair from you and from like my other friends and the internet and stuff, but I didn't know there was a typing, like a
mm-hmm.
sort of categorical system.
Yeah, it's meant to be helpful. It was made by, I can't think of the hair expert who actually made the system, but it was meant to just be a tool in helping people to like speak about hair and like also like techniques for hair. It's not necessarily meant to like kind of like separate people. It's more so like a very functional system, mainly for just like use these products if you have this type of hair, or like blow dry this type of hair this way. But it's kind of become, since like this whole natural hair movement has become like as big as it is, I think people are using that terminology on YouTube, especially to find people who have similar hair to them, to just kind of like help categorize.
So is it like a new system?
Relatively new. Yes. Okay. Yeah. But I would say it's about 10, 15 years old.
Okay.
20 years old. Don't quote me, but it's not like, yeah, it's been around for a minute, but it's just kind of gained popularity as the natural hair movement has gained popularity.
So are there a lot of different types of hair?
It's like 1, 2, 4. So 1 being like bone straight, and then 4 being like coily, spiral coily, and then 4C being like the really coily, like almost Z pattern curls.
So is it like A through C each one, or like A?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's...
Yeah. So there's like 1A, 1B, 1C, all the way to 4A. So it's like just like very specific categories amongst like the bigger overall group.
Yeah. I think texturism is also something I've only recently... I mean, colorism, obviously, I feel like... You know, something people talk about a lot, but texturism. Even, like, I guess, saying it that way. You know, everyone talks about texture and, like, curl patterns and stuff like that. But even texturism.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How did that affect you, like, growing up?
Well, I just... It sounds crazy to say it because I've come so far, but I just always thought, like, my hair was just, like, bad. Like, it was just something was wrong with it. So it was always about, like, I've been getting relaxers since I was 3. And, I mean, I didn't ask for a relaxer 3 years old. I didn't know what the hell was going on. But when you have that happen to you, like... Relaxers like hurt and they stink, and to think at 3 years old like, okay, I need to do this because something's wrong with my hair the way it is, like subconsciously that really affects you. You just feel like, okay, like I have to fix this, I have to straighten this, I have to do something to this to make it look different than what it is. And like, it's a lot of like self-hate and self-loathing, and it seems so like regular because everyone does it, but it's like a lot of unpacking to just really go through why you felt a certain way about who you are, because it's essentially a part of who you are. Like, it's how you, like how you are born, and we're altering it like constantly. But like I said, I had 5 sisters, and I mean, we all kind of really got it, you know. And my mother, her hair was much like looser curl than mine, and bless her heart, she just didn't know how to do my hair. She just didn't know how to tackle hair that was as coarse as mine. So my hair looked a hot ass mess like all the time, not because there was anything wrong with my hair, but no one knew how to properly style my hair. But that just kind of like amplified this feeling of like, this, my hair is bad. Like, it looks a mess and everyone's just like complaining about having to touch it. So like, I've done something wrong by like having this hair, you know? So it does make you feel lesser than, or you just spend a lot of time trying to emulate other people. Or, and if that's like through weaves or like perms or whatever, you know, you spend a lot of time trying to be somebody else.
Yeah. So when did you stop getting your hair, or like, when did you make like your own decisions about your hair?
College was like when everyone was going natural. So for me, I just put like, I was trying to perm my hair myself, because also like, it's really expensive to go to a salon and get your hair perm. And, I was in college, I was broke. So I was trying to do my own perms, and I just like burnt my hair out.
Oh, shit.
It was like an expired perm or something. And my hair just fell out. And I was just kind of like, I guess the universe is telling me like, it's time to just go ahead and like, do this. So I've been natural surprisingly for like 7-8 years, but honestly, like once it got out of like the really cute like short cut phase, I just like started putting it away. It was just under weaves, or you know, and I really hadn't, because I just hadn't taken the time to really relearn myself, or like just become comfortable with who I am. And that's like a big part of the process of like actually just looking at yourself in the mirror and just like coming to terms like, this is who I am. And I just never really took the time to do that process, maybe until like 2 years ago is when I first was exploring myself without like any modifications to who I am.
And that's kind of like where they both align, right? Like the, you starting the club.
Yeah, absolutely. My sister kind of like, even though I had been natural, I think my sister was the first one to really start experimenting with like styling her hair and like creating looks, because we just love to shoot. So she would really like push what she could do with her natural hair. And I was just like, oh, okay, like this is like cute. Like you can do this. And again, that's just to the point that representation makes such a huge difference. When you see someone else doing something that looks like you, then you immediately feel like you can do it. So for me, she was kind of like that representation for me of like, okay, I can like figure this out. And that's kind of what pushed me to start exploring my hair more and like hide, like not hiding behind, like covering it up.
Yeah. That's cool that you do with your sister though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That helps a lot.
Yeah. And y'all are so different looking.
Yeah.
You know? And everyone's like, your sister. I mean, yeah. I know you have your other sister who you look at, like, basically y'all are like twins.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you and Ricky are like not twins.
Yeah. No, we are not twins. Yeah.
That's cool that you started with your family.
Yeah.
I mean, what are, so now you're like making merch
yeah.
and stuff. And
yeah.
Your merch is really like hip.
Thank you. So it kind of goes back to like the whole point of trying to find a pocket, a way to to convey your interests without it having to be done in like this super cheesy, stereotypical way. Like there's no shade to any of the brands out there. And, you know, it's just really hard to find Black brands that still have like clean design, you know? And I mean, they're out there. There are brands that are doing it, but especially for women, it's like super hard to find like just like really clean cuts and designs. And we just wanted it to be something that we could be excited about and proud of and feel like hella cute, but also like in addition to that, convey a message that makes us feel good about ourselves and maybe starts a dialogue with other people who are like, why does your shirt say like my hair is nappy? You know, like, we wanted it to be kind of a tool to start narrative, but also like that the person is putting it on and feeling cute and also feeling like this is repping for them, like
right.
who they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a definitely layered merchandise.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of fun though. I think I haven't really had a reason to develop like any pieces when it comes to fashion before, but it's been something that I've been super interested in and my sister as well. So it's like the perfect opportunity for us to kind of use our creativity in that way. But also it means something really significant.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen, well, we were walking in LA that one time and the guy was like, oh, cool shirt. Like, I wish I could wear it or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, that's amazing. That's like kind of the best part of it, honestly, is that not all the reactions are positive. And I think it's like hilarious, but also like really telling that
yeah.
like me saying I love my nappy hair offends some people. And that just speaks to like the historical background behind, you know, just like wanting Black people to assimilate and just not feel proud about who they are. And it's just,
and it's not take up space,
not take up space.
Yeah.
That's like the best way to word it is really like, just be small, like make yourself small, make yourself assimilate. Like, I don't want to think about where you're from. I don't want to think about you having a strong personality or you being resilient. I just want you to be quiet and like, not in my way. So I feel like wearing something that says like, I'm so proud to have these like African roots is like a lot for some people. And I love it because I'm here for it. I want it to be a lot. I want us to take up space and I don't want us to feel like we have to apologize for that. So we hope that the merch can be a kind of a conduit to people feeling that they can take up more space, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, even over like the last 3 days, the way you wear your hair now,
the comments.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
been like at least three women that I've seen, all
yeah.
white women.
Yeah. People love to say like, it's just hair. Like, why do you guys talk about this so much? But it's like, it's not just hair. There's something to this idea of a Black woman wearing her hair big and proud and taking up space that is in some ways like dangerous, you know, like in some ways, like calling a lot of attention to her. And some of that's going to be unwanted attention. But like when you think to the Black Panther movement, like that fro was very symbolic and very powerful because it's just like, I'm here to say, and like, I'm not afraid, you know? And I think it still carries that sentiment. Even like now, it still carries that same sentiment. There are still people who will wear their fros on the weekend and then put it away for work because they, even if they can't articulate it, they understand what energy it creates, you know, and like what reaction that they get from like non-people of color when they see this like big proud fro, you know? So there's a lot still to unpack.
Yeah,
and I think
yeah.
we hope that our brand can be kind of like a conduit to more conversation because I think the natural hair movement is great and it's awesome, but a lot of it is focused on like products and like styles, which is great because we all want that. But like, also we still need to make sure that we're addressing those internal feelings and unpacking all these years of being told that like something is wrong with us, you know, versus they're just trying to like find the best buttercream. Like, that's not necessarily going to like completely heal us from everything that we're still dealing with, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I saw, and your documentary is really cool.
Yeah.
And the story that girl told about, you know, having her hair braided versus an afro at work.
Yeah. And being told that she looked more calm when her hair was like kind of put away.
Yeah.
And, and that's really happening like all the time. So we just hope to like allow more dialogue about that and kind of bring that to the light, that people are still really struggling with their hair, like kind of risking their jobs or, you know, like risking a partner because this person doesn't want them to wear their hair a certain way, you know? So
it's just so crazy that like hair can impact work, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it makes sense. It's just like, you know, some people don't have to deal with those kind of things. I mean, I don't have to deal with that, you know? So
yeah,
just that's like another part of everything else, like that, you know, kind of troubles Black people face, you know, it's like another added thing.
Yeah. I
you
mean,
know, that should be easy, but it's not.
There's a really strong tie to like slavery and post-slavery. And we're like everyone, well, not everyone. There's a lot of people who try to say like, well, we're past that now, but everything has a clear link, you know? And I think we think we're way further than we are, but like, trying to look as white as possible or white passing in order to get a job, it still continues up to like today. So I don't find it surprising at all, but I just think that there's a lot of avoidance of really acknowledging the remnants of like slavery and discrimination that we're still like pushing through every day.
Yeah. So you have some, you're working towards like doing events and stuff.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Yeah. We're doing our first like major event. We haven't really announced it yet because we're waiting on like securing some panelists, but again, just like starting dialogue. We really want it to be like very mixed, like men, women, you know. We want to just have like a dialogue about like where we are when it comes to hair and where we can go, but just make it light and fun. But we just feel like these dialogues need to continue happening. And it's just really great to hear a lot of different perspectives. So I'm excited to hear kind of like what people, how they're feeling and like what they've experienced.
Because you're moving back to New York.
Yes. Yes, I'm moving back to New York in a few short months. It's just like the energy on the East Coast is just, it's just there. That's where we're, the reception is for us. That's where people are excited. And I think that's just going to be our jumping off point for growing the brand.
I'm excited to see how it grows. And
yeah.
I mean, it's already so, you have like 4,000 followers on Instagram.
We're creeping on 5.
That's
creeping.
Awesome. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. It's crazy. Like we get so many DMs of people and their experiences and how much it means to them. And it's just so crazy that it's like, not just like people in the States. Like there are people all over who are like, this is resonating with that. Some of these people are like, there's no one around me who has hair like me. And this is just like everything for me. So it's just really cool to be doing something that is, for us, is like really fun and rewarding, but also like it means a lot to people.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where can people find you on social media?
Yeah. So on Instagram, we're Nappy Head Club. And we're also on Facebook, Nappy Head Club. Our website is nappyheadclub.com.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to plug your personal.
Sure. Mine is Rachel Danielle. There's some photography and stuff on there. Then, the link in the bio will take you right back to Nappy Head Club.
Yes, true. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Parma Hadaven.
Kevin Coble.
We're at it again.
What's good?
It doesn't stop.
What's good, Kevin?
Eli? I don't know. I don't know. Do you have the... I feel like I know you fuck with me, but if I were to just listen tonally... I would never know.
But I'd say that I'm like that with everyone.
Okay. I didn't know if it
I'm
was
like
just...
that with my mom.
Okay.
I'll pick up the phone and be like, hello.
Right.
I know it's my mom. Yeah.
Just pressed.
Not pressed. It's like the absence of anything, which actually makes people upset. It's actually very interesting. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's always good to see you.
You too.
We have in the corner store tonight a really like brilliant photographer.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Just really, you know, kind of these natural, surreal, mystical, like space
spherical.
And wow. Like filled
planetary
with, filled with pastels and, oh my God, and different pigments and
that. Astrological
like the maker of really, really beautiful interesting, you know, landscapes. We have Lil Rach in the building.
Thank you. That was the best introduction I could have imagined. Well, sometimes it just doesn't even feel real. That's amazing. Thank you.
Well, we're fans, and we want to welcome you into the Corner Store. And before we do, of course, you know, Max has already served up. Yeah, Max's Snack Door has already served up some of our sponsor, Stolen Spirits, new rye that you're enjoying off of the ginger.
Mixes perfectly. I put ginger ale in any liquor that I drink, but I don't even taste the liquor with this one.
Okay.
It's perfect.
Okay, good, good, good. They will be happy to know that. In addition to the rye whiskey that you're sipping on, Max also got you a Honest tea, half lemonade. It's organic, aka the Arnold Palmer for you tonight. So
yeah,
feel free.
I have drank Honest tea before.
By the way, we kind of have like the same water bottle.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, yours is yours.
This is Vans, though.
Okay. Oh no, this is I don't know what the fuck this is. Yeah.
Actually, but the brand on this is H2Go.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's fancy. I don't know what mine is, but
there's a dent in the bottle.
Yeah, I know. I like threw my shit on the ground.
Bottles. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Drop them. But it still works. It's still good. In addition, though, Max also got you some Nutella and Go hazelnut spread and breadsticks. Breadsticks seems weird.
Honestly, to be honest, it goes those, together though.
It's like Pocky.
Yes, exactly.
I know. Just breadsticks on the those are really aren't breadsticks. Is what
they're
I'm
like?
Saying.
What are they called? They're like
chew sticks. They're like
chew sticks.
That's really generic. That's not specific enough.
Okay, I don't know what the fuck they are, but
I bet they tell us.
Please feel free to enjoy them now, whenever, share them.
Yes, later.
ASMR, just chewing into the microphone.
Yeah, no, people, we love sound effects.
ASMR, listen, it took me so long to understand what ASMR is.
Because, I didn't get it either.
Right? You just put a bunch of the random letters and call it sound effects. Like, why can't you just call it sound effects?
What does it stand for? Do we know?
No.
Audio.
Simulated sonic melody making.
Yes. Yeah.
Rhythms. No, I don't know.
There's a lot of.
That. Yeah, no, people think, yeah, that's on point. You could actually be like,
I could try.
Asthma.
Yeah.
Asthma.
You're going to do it again?
I sound like asthma.
Wow.
These honestly are...
You're really good at chewing.
Thank you.
You could put that on
These are very neutral breadsticks, though. They could go sweet or salty.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Maybe that's, you know...
Yeah.
Well, there's that Nutella restaurant thing.
Yeah, very
here.
Close to the spaceship at the gym.
Why have I never been there?
Because, why the fuck?
Sounds delicious. Nutella is great.
It's good.
Once you eat too much of it, though...
So many sugars, but...
You know? Yeah exactly.
But
yeah.
Have you had
I'm a salty person.
Cookie butter.
No, but throw salt on that shit. Like, put Nutella on toast and put salt on top.
That would be an interesting
combination.
That's bomb. That's a vibe.
That's delicious.
That's a
maybe
well,
even like
I put salt on like my, you know, fruit bowls. If you do honey salt,
yeah,
it's the best
amazing.
Combination.
Sea salt, like the fancy
yeah,
sea salt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It deafens, some ground
it,
pink.
Himalayan.
Himalayan salt.
Himalayan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a huge thing of that.
I put some of that shit in the oatmeal that I make in the morning.
Anything you have that's sweet, you can put salt on.
I'm like anti-salt. I'm like,
what? I know you.
I'm just like
for
so
real.
Sensitive
to
salt. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
But also,
it's Chicago, the land of the salt.
Though. Yeah, land of salty mugs. Anyway.
Oh.
On both ways, food,
facts.
Salt. You know.
That's why I think you can't stand the salt because you get too much in your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Rach.
What's up,
Lil Rach?
Yes.
It's good to have you in the building. I want to talk about kind of so many things, but let's just start with where do you come from?
Fox Valley,
yes.
Like we were talking about before.
Yes.
So definitely not the city. I'm not trying to claim like I'm from Chicago, but, you know, definitely outside of the city. But I feel like any memories that I have, it was always coming here. So I'm definitely like rooted. I feel like Chicago is my extension, but I'm definitely from cornfields. Nothing, just kind of having to use your imagination to pretend that things are going on.
But of course, we've heard about Fox Valley on the pod before because Corner Store alums Elton and Felix are also from Fox Valley. So Fox Valley is out west. It's Aurora, and
you can branch into Oswego, which is the smaller version, but most people...
Not quite Joliet.
No. That's a little different. That's more south, but we're just straight west. Like, right when you pass over from city, it just turns into cornfields. Like, we're the first people there. The last line on the BNSF.
So, you know, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but I could tell in your photos that there is this real love and appreciation for the natural.
Yeah.
Even though you're also kind of like making it super real or surreal or what have you, but growing up in, you know, amongst cornfields and yeah. everything, like,
well,
what
was said that though?
Right.
Yeah.
But what was that like? What was that childhood
it
like?
It really. We had the classic childhood, you know, like we didn't have phones, like we were outside, we were playing, you know, midnight tag, stuff like that. So we were constantly surrounded by it. But when I was first starting, like, taking pictures or anything, like, I thought the only place that I could get anything valuable was in the city. So I kept on coming here, trying to be part of that scene. I'm going to go on the rooftops. I'm going to take pictures of the skyline because that's the only thing people care about in, I guess, Illinois anyways. The only people that come here, they go to Chicago. So it was like I was coming here, I was trying to do something with that, but I realized it was so saturated. There were so many people that were already doing that, that I should probably step back and kind of do what I know. And after that, I realized how much beauty really was out there. Like, it's nothing, but it's still something. That's where you can see the best sunsets. Like, that's where you can see just open space, just horizons. And it kind of made me appreciate it, like trying to find something new. Like, my art made me appreciate it even more than I ever did before. I was trying to be something else, and then once I got back to my roots, I was like, okay, there's something here. And it's all nostalgic for me, for sure. That's why my pictures are grainy. That's why it's a little bit older looking, because it's just sentimental now.
When did you, like, go back to realizing your roots?
Well, I was in Chicago, but I was traveling a lot. I was going to Miami. I was going to L.A. I was going to New York. I was seeing all these different places, but, like, nothing felt as much as at home. It's just, like, an open country road, which sounds really cheesy, but when it comes down to it, just being out there, being able to breathe, like, there's just something. I'm a sentimental person. Like, I love, like, memories and just things that I've seen. I feel comfortable there. I don't feel like I'm trying to be anything. Like, there's no people, so there's no real influence. You kind of just see what you see, and I don't know, it just brought it home.
We'll say it at the end, but as people are listening, I kind of want them to also peep your IG so they can kind of, you know, follow along. We'll get it at the end, but what is the IG?
Lil Rach Prod. I used to think I was production, so it's Lil Rach Prod, but it turned into something else. But I'm just going to keep the name because I don't like to change anything. I don't want anyone to get confused.
Yeah, no, that's fair. So where do you think that sense of sentimentality comes from, or that nostalgia, or that desire for, you know, what? Yeah, just all of these kind of memories.
I think my family, for sure, because my parents are a little older, you know, like, they weren't super, like, young with us. I just remember, like, my grandma's house. Like, it was all very, like, her house always looked like the day that they built it, like, 70s, 60s, like, even before that. I just love, like, older things. I feel like the way that the world turned, like, everything is disposable, but looking at old pictures of film and, like, that was a moment in time, it just means something. Like things are quick to just forget about now, but everything like that, like, if you can look at something and just see it again and take your person right to the same memory that you had, like, when you were a kid, like, playing baseball in your grandma's backyard, or, like, having a fire at a campsite and not having a phone, not caring about anything in the world except for who the people were that were sitting next to you, like, those moments when you're just happy to be alive and you're not
very
worried.
Straightforward existence.
Yeah, it's like an honest living, I like to call it. You're just living and enjoying everything that we have, and it's not
in
extra.
The moment.
In the moment,
it's kind of untethered.
Everything. Exactly. That's how I take my pictures too. It's so in the moment. I can't go out and look for anything. It just happens. And, like, the best things that I've taken pictures of, like, the best sunsets are, like, ones that I got lucky with. Like, I'll wish on it. Like, come on, like, let's see the sun today. And then,
but Midwestern sunsets, there's, like, something about them. I mean, even St.
Louis,
there's
nowhere else.
The skies, yeah. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
the flattest place on earth. So in so many places you can't see the sun on that crest, like where it's just glowing and it's harsh and it's just like, or it's like that super defined line. And you know, like when it's summertime and like that orb is in the sky, like there is everyone appreciating it? Like, do we understand that we're so lucky to see something that beautiful? Like, it could be, we could be two planets out and not see anything or not care. Yeah. But it's like the best colors you've ever seen, the best. It's always different.
One of my favorite things to do, and you could do this in the city, you could do it on train, you could do it in car, but is to see, I've only done it a few times, but I've seen the sun rise out of this side of Lake Michigan, and then see the sun set on the other end of the U, where it dips back into the water.
Right, and it's always the most intense when you can see it cross over from the sky to it being gone. And then after it's gone, the reflection that shoots up into the clouds, and it's like the gradients, it's a science almost how perfect some sunsets can be. And I feel like people driving, like walking, like, do you stop? Like, do you notice it? I don't want to make it like stop in every moment, like you have to see every moment, but like when you see it, like, do you see it? Like
something you definitely take for granted, you know?
Yeah, it's very easy to.
Yeah,
but I get panicked. I'm like, I have to see it. Like, if I can't like get a picture of something that I just see, it gives me anxiety. So that's like the only thing that's like keeping me going. I can't stop. It's my first nature, you know?
How did you become interested in, I guess, I don't know, it seems like a lot of planetary sort of.
Yeah, I actually, in the winter, it's hard for me to survive, you know? Like, I thrive on green and nature and being able to go out and do stuff, but as everyone knows in Chicago, how brutal the winters can be, you kind of have to.
And the spring.
You have to use your imagination. You have to make things up. You have to, like, you can take what's there, but make it like it's not negative 50 degrees, and like you can make it feel warm. So I kind of had to be creative because I couldn't go out and just find perfect scenes, but I could get a smaller range of places, but make them unique in their own way.
So you're still able to work through the winter?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because I really, you know, most of my stuff comes from the summer, but in the winter I have to kind of do things differently and be able to make everything different by using extra stuff.
And I don't want you to necessarily give away the secret sauce, but what are some of the tools that you use in creating?
Well, it's always based off the picture at hand, you know? Like, I never really think about the post editing before I've already taken the picture. So it's kind of like, okay, this picture looks cool, but what would make it look cooler? And I'm super into like 70s, like very like symmetrical, circular. That's where the circles come from, because I love the repetitive like patterns and weird colors. So that's just something that's pleasing to the eye. Like, there's nothing more pleasing to the eye than something symmetrical and something circular, I guess. So it kind of just kept going from there. It's like, what colors look best with other colors? Like, the sun is in a certain position, can I make it look bigger? Like, can I make it look more intense? And then I just recently started doing all of that this winter because it was hard. It was a tough one for me.
And is it on film, digital, mix of both?
No, it's actually, some stuff is film. I have like this old film camera that works sometimes and sometimes doesn't. But then if anything, like, I have a really good camera, but most of the time it's like in passing on my iPhone. So that's a question that I get a lot, but it's most of my stuff is just off an iPhone.
Right.
Yeah. Cause the quality doesn't really have to be there. It's more about everything in the picture. It's not one thing, but it's the whole thing.
Oh, wow. And then what about then the editing process? Cause that's also probably a big part of the practice.
Yeah. And that's mostly Photoshop, like anything Adobe, like I can use for that. But if anything, it's just trying to make the picture look like how I saw it, you know? It's not anything super foreign. It's just like, you know how you can see something and take a picture and it's not nearly as magical or as mystical as you saw or like what transferred into your phone or into your camera, but enhancing the saturations and making it feel like you're there is really important to me. Otherwise, it just wouldn't even matter, you know?
Some of these are wild, like this one.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That one was cool because it works with my pictures because I always have a flat horizon line. Like, everything is always, there's nothing askew. Like, if it's the ground, it's going to be exactly 90 degrees or 180. So,
like this one?
That's easy to bend into a circle.
This one's crazy, too.
Yeah. No, I.
It's like the Saturn.
That was one of them that people actually fucked with, you know? Like, it's kind of hard to get people to pay attention to just pictures, no captions, no hashtags. But
once I went into
doing some planets and something surreal, like, it happened. And, yeah, that was actually, yeah, that one was on a whim. That was the first time I even tried to, like, do something like that again, because
this one right here.
I was doing the planets like that first, though.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, if I can do a planet from far away, I can do a planet with another planet. I don't know.
But then you also kind of manipulate shit, right? Because I'm looking at the one where, you know, this one where there's a kind of a telephone pole
on top.
This is one of my favorite ones, which is like on top of a planet that is also like the inner, rings of a tree or something like that. Or
just a record. Exactly. Yeah. I had a record needle on one of those and I was like, is this a little too much? But those are all, the picture that I took had that telephone pole in it. It was just flat. It was just flat on the ground.
Right.
So when you bend it around itself, it looks like it's the only thing sticking out of the picture, which is cool because that's how it is out there. You don't see anything but a telephone pole and something flat.
But that's actually land. That's like a really well maintained, manicured grass space.
Right. Cause it was actually the different shades of green.
Yeah. It was a field and it was just freshly about to bloom into soybeans, which is a very common thing out there. So it's either soybeans or corn.
Right.
And in the winter, there's nothing in the field. It's just dirt. So that's why I had to add spheres and circles and stars and whatever could make it feel just interesting.
There's some, like, I'm just getting a sense of, like, togetherness when I look at it, you know? Like,
that's
we're
how
all just people
looks.
Living on the earth, and we got nature and shit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, right?
Which is, like, literally the most inarticulate way of describing your work.
Yeah, no, it's simplified, though.
Nature and shit.
It's exactly what's happening. It's all a sky, it's sky, atmosphere, and then a rock in the middle.
So is that part of, you know, kind of the, I don't know, the, in your artist statement, is you know, do you think about those issues of a interconnectedness and also the, you know, some of the issues of even when you're saying just like stopping and reflecting and seeing and being present?
Oh yeah, that's like one of the main things that like fuels anything that I'm even doing, because no matter where you are, even if you're in the country, the city, whatever, there's always a, like, scenes. Everything is
crazy.
That one was hard.
Tara's fangirling.
I had no subject on that.
Get the phone away from Tara.
Well, they won't load, so I'm like,
it's tough. But yeah, I feel like everyone's just disposing of all this information constantly. But any time I've ever felt like okay and like everything is right in the world is when, you know, I'm right there. Like, it's happening. Like, that's real life, because all this stuff that we've created, like jobs and buildings and all this money and whatever, like, the only two things that started here first were sunsets, sunrises, and then eventually humans. It goes back so far.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like the sunsets go back. Those are older than
God created light.
Anyone can even imagine. They can't, and they forget that. Like, that's been going on. And every day it's just like, oh, well, I got a rush to do this thing, but like,
and we miss it.
Yeah,
like constantly.
Even if I'm in a rush, like, I don't even care. I'll be late for that. Like, it's become obsessive, I guess, but I'd rather see them than to not see them.
That's a beautiful obsession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's benefiting me all the time. I'm seeing new colors and new combinations and just like new, I could do it forever because they're always going to be different, you know?
And they're like kind of psychedelic. You know?
Yeah, that happened after I did acid.
True.
Listen, yeah.
Everything changed. I can see, I
was a perception.
My Instagram.
Shout out Huxley.
And I just scrolled down and I saw the moment when I first did acid.
Oh, wow.
So when I
switched. Was it one of these circular ones?
It's actually a little bit earlier than that, but it's when everything turned genuine, you know? It was when I was doing something to just try to do something, to be something. I knew that I wanted to be creative. I knew that I wanted to have an outlet. I knew that I liked doing it through pictures. But, like, once I did that, once I did acid and, like, saw things how I knew I could, then that's when it became, like, I don't care about what people think or how they – I cared about how they felt when they saw my pictures, but I didn't care if they saw me making moves or if they saw me working with certain people. I used to take concert photography just to, like, prove that I was doing something. And I used to, like, try and make music videos for people. I used to try and do all these things to just be in the scene. But, like, that sat me down and was like, you don't have to do that. You just have to go out and see stuff and then show other people.
That's beautiful. So
it helped me a lot.
The showing of other people, you know, I'm kind of interested in the platform or the platforms, obviously IG.
Yeah.
How else do you show people your work?
Honestly, like, person to person in real life. I like to be with my friends. Like, when we go see sunsets together, like, I've noticed, like, if I make a big deal out of it, like, people tend to catch on to that too, and they're realizing, like, this is actually really dope. Like, it can be an outing. Let's go catch the sunset on the beach over here. Like, me, Dave, like, a bunch of our friends, like, we just went and saw the gnarliest sunset on Wednesday, and it was by luck. Like, we got super lucky, and it ended up being a moment that I'll never forget for the rest of my life. So it's like those type of things when you're standing there and you know in 50 years, like, you'll remember that. And it's just like, there I was when I was 23. I was with my friends. We were on the beach. We were drinking tequila. Like, it was, we wished on the sun, and then it came down and showed us everything that we hope for. It feels spiritual. It feels like you made, like, you brought that on yourself. It's like law of attraction or whatever. But
do you have favorite spots in the city? I mean, because when you think about, like, good spots to see the sunset, like, yeah, in Chicago, can you give away some of the spots? Or
definitely
no?
That last one that we saw, the bird sanctuary on Montrose Beach. That's when you go out all the way to where the water hits on the beach. It's perfect out there because it goes down right behind those buildings, right north. So it's low there. You're not blocking anything, so you can see it. Other places, always. I was talking about the Radisson earlier. That's the best hotel in the city to me. So I always love seeing sunsets from any balcony on that side. Because whether you're seeing
Are you sponsored
sun,
by them? You should
get that young but sponsorship. I should be. For that real. Would be great because yeah. It is my favorite hotel in the city. But it's the only place you can go with balconies. So that's why I like it there. Because I just want to be above it. It's cool in the city because you can, like, be above it and see way further. But
that's why I've always loved parking garages for that reason too.
That's also a good one too. So we always used to do that. I used to go to school at AI, so I was always down here just doing stuff. But after I stopped going there, I was just in the country, so I had to make something of it. I couldn't just stop. So that helped to just go out there and see.
And do you sell prints? Are you getting into gallery spaces, work, stuff like that?
Yeah, the next gallery is actually the YCA one.
Hey.
So that's really cool. I'm excited for that.
When is that?
June 21st.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bet,
June 21st,
bet.
Right? Okay. And my birthday month is June.
Hey.
Actually, June 21st is Jordan's birthday. So that's cool. But yeah. Oh, and it's the summer solstice on.
Yeah, true. Yeah, right. Lots of things.
There's
lots
so
of things.
Many things great about that. So I'm going to do a perfect summer installation for everyone that's super hype about it.
Beautiful.
I'm going to do big prints. So I'm.
I want that Saturn one.
I got you.
Yeah.
Just let me know.
Yeah. I'm gonna talk.
I got you. Yeah, and yeah. I've been working with, like, doing poster size stuff, like really trying to make it big. So that's my newest thing, but I have been selling prints. I've been doing it kind of janky, but unique. So I've been, like, buying, like, vintage frames and just going based off the size of the frame, just deciding what picture is going to look best in there, and then just selling one of ones, you know?
Beautiful.
So it's just a little more to add to the nostalgic, like, vintage. Like, no one else has that. you have your own. So that's pretty cool. But I'm scared to kind of go super like robotic with it. Like, here's a 58 by 10s that you can have. Like, that's why I'm holding myself back and kind of just doing it, I guess, pretty low level, because I'm just worried about them losing their value, because they mean a lot to me.
And it seems like you're always making too, right? Yeah. Or at least you're always capturing.
If I'm outside, like if something's happening, like it's going to happen. Like I don't have to plan a day for it to happen. I can be on my way to the hospital and like see an awesome sunset. Yeah, right. I don't often go, but if I see an awesome sunset, like that's what's going to happen. If I just see it in the moment, like it's going to happen.
And is it a daily thing making pictures?
I would say when the day feels right. I don't try and force it on anything, but sometimes I'll find myself like I'll get off of work and act like I'm going to go take a nap or something, and then like the moment that I get out there and see something, like I'll drive like an hour in the wrong direction just to like go get everything that I can get, no matter like if I'm alone or whatever. Like, I'm just gonna drive and just keep taking pictures until I feel like it's dark enough. So it kind of happens naturally as I possibly could make it.
Cool.
Okay. Well, we are really
obviously,
as you could see, awesome. We're kind of by the moment each photo we're like, oh shit.
Oh wait, it's lit.
Thank you.
So where can people find you on the internet?
Instagram for sure. That's where I post basically everything. I've kind of let go of Twitter. It's a little weird, but Instagram, Lil Rach Prod. Lil Rach Prod.
Great. Cool. Well, thank you so much for being in the corner store, and we are very excited to see more and more from you. So
perfect. Thank you. Yeah, it's summer. It's about to go down like super hard.
Thank
I'm ready.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
We want to thank our super producer, DJ Cashera,
WDN boss man, Todd Manley.
Shout out Ernie the engineer.
And of course, Max the snack tour.
All day. On IG and Twitter, we are
Cornerstore_pod.
Please, y'all, rate and subscribe on iTunes. Tell someone to listen to the Corner Store. And if you wish, you could also tell us who we should have on the Corner Store.
Yeah, just, slide in our DMs.
They're open.
A great way to support us is through our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/cornerstore_pod. And you can, support us in our future endeavors and, get some benefits along the way. And
it's like a little change jar, in front,
little,
at the corner store.
Jar, right?
Yeah, right, right, right. Yeah, yeah. If you listen, please support, and we really appreciate your support.
Thanks.
The Corner Store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.